a Republican state lawmaker has been named the unofficial winner of two seats on the Douglas County Board of Supervisors thanks to write-in votes. It's Thursday, April 4th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, University of Wisconsin researchers have found nearly 20 viruses in wild sport fish. Danielle Kading will have more on what's going on in the waters. And Wisconsin utilities are retiring more coal-burning power plants in the next few years. Joe Schultz has more on how those sites are being redeveloped. Stay with us.
Community support makes these 10 minutes of Wisconsin news possible. Your gift now at wpr.org/givewitoday makes the news you can use on Wisconsin Today available to you and everyone else. Thank you.
A Republican state lawmaker is the unofficial winner of two seats on the Douglas County Board of Supervisors by way of write-in votes. Rich Kramer reports the unusual election featured four board races without any candidates on the ballot.
Republican State Representative Angie Sapik won one of the county board seats with 76 write-in votes. She also won the other with just 5 votes. But Sapik can only hold one of the seats, the one where she lives. So Douglas County Clerk Casey Jo Lundgren says her office is trying to figure out what happens to the other district.
I am uncertain if that goes to the next highest totaled individual or if that seat then stays vacant and we go through a hiring or appointment process.
Lundgren says she's waiting on guidance from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Sapik is currently serving out a term in the state legislature. She decided not to seek re-election after new legislative maps gave her district a Democratic lean. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde got a key endorsement this week that could help him fend off any organized challenge from the right. Hovde is running against Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin in her re-election campaign. So far, other Republicans have declined to get in the race. Former President Donald Trump threw his weight behind Hovde during a visit to Green Bay on Tuesday. Trump's endorsement has been big in previous GOP primaries. Mordecai Lee is a professor emeritus of politics at UW-Milwaukee. He says the endorsement is smart politics for both candidates.
From the point of view of Hovde, it sends a signal to the Trump supporters in Wisconsin that they can support him. In other words, it's transferable, that if there should be some kind of a primary, that the Trump people would support him. And assuming that there isn't a primary, that the Trump voters outstate would be as excited to vote for him as they would be for Trump himself.
Democrats also want to link Hovde to Trump. They're counting on the divisive former president to turn moderates away from down-ballot Republicans. Governor Tony Evers signed a bill yesterday to help Wisconsin's flood-prone communities before an emergency. Supporters say the program will also help restore wetlands. The legislature approved $2 million for the plan. It will allow local governments to apply for two kinds of grants. One will assess how vulnerable they are to flood risk, and the other will fund restoration projects to reduce flood damage and protect important infrastructure. Maureen Urso is with Audubon Great Lakes. She says Wisconsin's lost up to 50% of its historic wetlands, which also help absorb rain.
So it really does educate communities about the benefits of green infrastructure. Wetlands are a natural flooding mitigation tool. It also creates habitat for birds and wildlife.
Urso says this could protect vulnerable marsh birds, which have been on the decline in Wisconsin. Anglers aren't the only ones catching something out in Wisconsin waters. University of Wisconsin researchers have found nearly 20 viruses in wild sport fish. As Danielle Kading reports, that includes a distant relative of coronavirus that's usually associated with birds.
Researchers say it's part of a first-of-its-kind study in North America to survey healthy fish for viruses. They analyzed around 100 blood samples from 5 fish species, including brown trout, lake sturgeon, and walleye. The findings revealed 19 viruses. UW-Madison epidemiology professor Tony Goldberg says that includes 17 that were never before seen.
There are fish relatives of coronavirus. And in fact, we found one. A walleye in our study have a coronavirus.
Goldberg says it's the first coronavirus associated with fish, but he stressed none found pose a threat to people. The findings could help determine what effect, if any, the viruses have on fish health. The next step is to do more testing and map where they're found. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a special report from Joe Schultz on how shuttered coal plants are creating new development opportunities. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, Wisconsin has fewer coal-burning power plants today than in the past, and utilities are planning to retire more plants in the next few years. As Joe Schultz reports, those closures are part of a move to reduce carbon emissions. They can also create new opportunities for development at former plant sites.
In 2021, the Dairyland Power Cooperative decommissioned its coal-burning power plant in Genoa. Last month, local officials and utility staff members watched from a nearby bluff as they used explosives to demolish it. A large smokestack crashes to the ground as smoke and dust rise from the remains. Leaders of the utility are still planning what's next for the site. Brent Ridge is the CEO of Dairyland.
We're going to be looking for economic development opportunities that could range from manufacturing all the way to another power-generating resource.
The Genoa plant isn't unique. The state had 13 large-scale coal plants in 2005. It had 7 as of 2020. That's according to the State Public Service Commission. 3 more are expected to come offline by 2026. Scientists say burning coal to generate electricity is a big contributor to climate change. Utilities say they're committed to reducing carbon emissions, but their goals are voluntary. They aren't mandated by state law. In 2022, both We Energies and Alliant pushed back plant retirements, citing supply chain issues for solar components. Environmental groups say it's imperative that utilities move away from coal as quickly as possible to mitigate the worst effects of climate change. Utilities have pledged to go carbon neutral by 2050.
If it wasn't important to our customers, it wouldn't be important to us. So we're not going fast enough for some of them. Some of them we're going probably too fast.
That's J.P. Brummond, an executive with Alliant Energy. The utility plans to take its Edgewater generating station in Sheboygan County offline next year. The site sits along Lake Michigan. Trains coming into its rail yard carry coal that will be burned to generate electricity. Inside, industrial piping lines many of the walls and ceilings. Operations manager Terry Dumez points to a diagram outlining the plant's layout and process for converting coal to electricity.
It's pulverized coal. It comes out basically like powder after it goes through the pulverizer. It just gets blown, transported with air.
The utility has had early discussions with local officials and hired a consultant to help come up with a plan for the site's future. Meanwhile, a former coal plant in southeast Wisconsin is expected to see new life in the coming years. We Energies tore down its plant in Pleasant Prairie in 2022. Last month, it sold the site to Nevada-based developer Dermody Properties. Dermody plans to convert the site into a 3-building industrial campus. Neil Driscoll is with the developer. He says the site's infrastructure factored into those plans.
It gives us really good opportunities to tap into the power that's in the area, which is a big factor and quite frankly is a growing one with everyone's interest in data centers.
A former Alliant Energy plant in Beloit has had a second life since it came offline in the 2010s. While the site once sounded like this, it now sounds like this. When the Blackhawk Generating Station closed, Beloit College saw opportunity in the century-old building. The college struck a deal in 2014, allowing it to convert the site into a fitness and student center. The center opened in 2020. It still features coal hoppers, a control panel, and industrial piping. Beloit College even saved the plant's smokestack, though it no longer produces billowing clouds. Dan Schuf is with the college. He says there's something symbolic about the project.
It was polluting for a purpose to generate power, but it did a lot of damage in the community, as all coal plants did. And so for us now to take that and be a place of learning, that's a different kind of energy.
Despite the closure of coal plants, environmental groups are critical of some utilities' plans to replace them with natural gas plants. They say more work is needed to get to zero carbon emissions. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Cool story from Joe Schultz there. Thanks to him for that reporting, and thanks to you for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Mallory Chang and John Davis, they were the two people putting the show together behind the scenes today. That's all we got for you today. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.